Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. Mother Nature has been creating quite a bit of chaos for us, not just here in the Flathead, but just almost all over the East Coast. And you know, all that cold weather in the East Coast caused the pipes to snap there at JFK Airport, flooded a bunch of people's luggage, and it's just basically been a real pain in the patoot. Steve Thompson is with us from Climate Smart Glacier Country. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, John.
I thought I'd throw a little good news in there to get you started.
Boy, you just every day's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Sure, yeah. Is. Now they got mudslides coming in California Australia, Southern Australia, 117 degrees.
Hot.
Yeah. What the heck's going on, Steve?
We talk about climate change a lot, but a lot of people just say it's climate weirding. I mean, there's just more weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
And that's what I find really interesting is this, where the physics of the natural world coincide with geography. So it plays out so different in different places. And there's certain physical rules and laws of physics, laws of nature that are driven by atmospheric processes and the chemistry of the atmosphere. More and more carbon dioxide is just sets in motion all of these weird dynamics that play out differently. And I find it fascinating to watch, even though it's a little scary.
It's weird. I think we've covered that. Is it safe? You know, you hear people talk about beyond climate change, the global warming. But that's really a cyclical thing, isn't it? It affects the cold winters and everything else.
You know, global warming is something that's, we've had global warming, global cooling, and all kinds of changes in the climate over millions and millions of years.
Right.
And usually it happens in cycles that go up and down related to the tilt of the Earth's axis over thousands and thousands of years. But what's going on right now is driven by the release of all this stored up carbon that's been underground, and we put it up in the air by burning fossil fuels, and we've changed the chemistry of the atmosphere very rapidly. So that's sort of the driver now. It's playing out so that like the East Coast, if you look at what the weather we've had in the eastern United States this so far this winter, you look at that and you say, how could there be global warming when it's so cold?
Yeah.
I mean, it's down in Florida.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. There's a big debates going on. You know, people sometimes like to debate whether, you know, about climate change, but the real debates is like, what is causing that? One thing we do know is that all of that cold air didn't just sort of pop up. It came from the Arctic. So why is all this Arctic air going all the way down to Florida? Well, one thing, the Arctic is warming faster than any other part of the world.
Well, Alaska had the highest recorded temperatures in December, and its entire, well, since we started keeping
records.
It was
warmer than places in Florida at the same day. There was places in Alaska that were warmer than places in Florida.
Wow.
So maybe this is, there are those that say that the Earth has tipped or the pole's polarity has changed from time to time. Maybe what they're talking about is the weather patterns shifting or something.
Well, they definitely are. You know, you've got atmospheric currents changing. You know, think of the jet stream. The jet stream goes from west to east, and you have the Arctic or the polar jet stream, and it usually would go in a fairly straight line. You know, it would wave a little bit, but mostly it went west to east in fairly strong winds. Now, what's happened when the Arctic gets all that much warmer? The Arctic's warming faster than the tropics or even the mid-latitude areas, so that differential between the temperatures of the way north and the equator, that differential was getting less and less. And so that is stalling some of the winds, and so the jet stream is going in these big wavy patterns. And so what's happened here in the last month or so is you've got a lot warmer in the North Pacific. You got a lot less sea ice, and it creates this ridge, this atmospheric ridge. So the west side of the Rockies this year has been generally warmer and drier, especially in the Southern Rockies, Central Rockies. They are having the driest winter that they've had in like 60 years.
Hmm.
And a lot warmer. Whereas the east side, but then that trough goes down, so that jet stream goes up in the Arctic and goes around us, and then comes back down on the east side and brings all that cold air and bring and meanwhile there's so much more energy in the atmosphere globally because it's warmer, holds more moisture. You got some big snowstorms going on.
Now, when you were talking about the weather changes, you said there's a lot more carbon in the air. What period of time are you talking, over the last century?
You know, the frame of reference I use is 1982, because that's when I first, I took an ecology and physics course, and basically that's the first time I learned about this phenomenon of the greenhouse gas effect. Now, this is something that's been well known in the scientific literature for over 100 years, but at that point it was 342 parts per million of carbon dioxide. Now, going back 100 years before or 200 years before the Industrial Revolution, it was around 280 to 320. 1982, we were at 342. Now we're at 406. Oh. So that is a dramatic increase. I'm a young man, right?
Right. Okay, yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, still good looking, right? And this is when I first understood, you know, that was when I was a freshman in college.
That's 1982. So from 200 years prior to 1982, we're up, what, about maybe 50 parts per million?
Exactly.
And from then to now, we're up over 100 parts per million.
That's right. And it is, and it's, we're increasing, the rate of increase is 2 to 3 parts per million per year. And so it's, the last time the carbon dioxide levels have been this high in the atmosphere, has been about 3 million years ago. And, you know, us Homo sapiens, we've been walking this earth for maybe 300,000 years. So 3 million is 10 times the amount of time our species, it hasn't been like this.
Okay, now what caused that high carbon count way back then?
Well, there's been
dinosaurs.
All kinds of,
yeah.
There's all kinds of things that have
flatulence
affected over
from
years.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There you go. I got it.
Usually, there have been times when some volcanoes produce a lot of CO2.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Some volcanoes produce not very much CO2 and can actually lead to a cooling effect because they put up aerosols and all these particles that block heat from coming in. Greenhouse gases block heat from going out. It's a different type of radiation. Mm-hmm. And so that's one factor. Sometimes volcanoes do it. But the other thing is, primarily, the thing that's been driving climate shifts is this very slow shift in the Earth's axis. So when the northern hemisphere gets more exposed to sunlight and basically have warmer seasons, that gradually ends up melting where all that ice is up there, which triggers release of methane, release of carbon from soils, and so carbon dioxide will increase as a result of temperatures increasing. And then that compounds the effect, because CO2 is and methane are these greenhouse gases. But that wasn't the driver; that sort of was the accelerator.
There are those who say that there was a time when the Sahara Desert was a lush green jungle.
Well, yes, indeed.
And there is a huge aquifer underneath the Sahara Desert. Now, of course, it's a desert and has been, you know, for hundreds of years. Could we be experiencing something like that, like Mother Earth saying, you know what, you need to move to a different place because I need to reform?
Well, I don't know what Mother Earth is trying to tell us or where we would move, but...
Well, I would think that if it's more temperate, you know, in Canada and in Alaska, maybe that's where we would go, and we would abandon places like Florida and the southern states.
I think we're starting to see that globally. Some places are going to be too hot, already are getting too hot. Places like India. I spent 6 months in India when I was a young man, and the places where I used to be in southern India are so hot now. And they have these annual heat waves that kill 1,000 people at a time. Nasty, nasty stuff when you don't have air conditioning.
Boy, we just bringing you a lot of great news this morning. Steve Thompson's with us from Climate Smart Glacier Country. Let's bring it all back local. We'll do that right after this. Our guest is Steve Thompson from Glacier Climate Smart Glacier Country. And I think we better talk about Climate Smart Glacier Country a little bit and kind of localize the things that we just talked about in the last segment.
Yeah, it makes sense to, it's hard to grasp everything that's going on globally. Yeah. And locally, there's so many great things that are already happening in the Flathead.
Sorry about that. I get admonished by my wife unit to leave the audio on my phone because I'm out of touch. So anyway, there you go.
So our Climate Smart Glacier Country, we're just focused on local climate solutions. You know, we don't get involved in the politics or in the big, you know, national policy issues. We're just focused in on, you know, what can we do locally? What's already going on locally? And so we sort of have three just general categories. You know, one is we call adaptation. So climate's already changing. You know, here in the Flathead Valley, in the last 70 years, our temperatures have increased about 2.7 degrees average. And that plays out differently at different times of year. And, of course, you got natural variability on top of that. It's already happening. And it's projected to increase. So how do we prepare for that? Whether it's fire seasons, whether it's smoke seasons, whether it's sort of weirder weather, more heavy downfalls of rain or even snow. So what do we need to do to prepare? So that's adaptation. We also focus on mitigation, which is basically reducing our energy use, energy conservation. I know since I've sort of gotten involved in this, I do a lot more to turn my lights off and to switch to LED. And I've sort of done a calculation. I figured, you know, I was wasting 30% of the energy I was using was wasted. It was energy I didn't need to use. And it was just because, you know, we have pretty inexpensive energy and, you know, you just don't think about it that much.
But, you know, they say at Flathead Electric, the cheapest power we have is that we don't use.
That's absolutely right. In fact, they just did an analysis on that. They looked at their energy efficiency programs. And it's good for the ratepayers, for those of us that are members of FEC. Mm-hmm. It is a good deal that FEC is investing and in providing incentives for people to conserve energy. Ends up paying off and is a lot cheaper than trying to build a new power plant.
What we don't understand about all this is we have all this inexpensive power from Hungry Horse Dam and BPA here. Okay, when we use all that up, then we have to go out on the open market and buy it. And that is really expensive.
Absolutely.
So when you have the more you have to buy, the more the rates have to go up. That's more that the average goes up. So the idea is the less we use, the less we have to pay.
Absolutely. And if we have surplus in the Pacific Northwest, then we make big money by selling it to California. And if we don't have any surplus because we're using it all locally, well, then there's some that ends up affecting the bottom line, you know, for us. But, you know, look at the population growth here in the Flathead. Look at it in Seattle and Portland and all throughout the Pacific Northwest. It's a popular place. Our population is growing. We're not making any more, you know, water here. So, you know, there's a bit of a finite supply of hydropower, but yet we have this growth. So how do we end up providing power to meet that growing demand?
Coal.
Well, the best thing to do is to save the energy in the first place. Save that 30% of, you know, that we don't necessarily, that we're wasting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a basic conservative value is waste not, right?
Right. Well, then here's an issue. As we convert now to, and the car manufacturers, all of them, both in all countries, are moving very quickly to electric-powered cars. Mm. We have more and more hybrid models today available here in the Flathead than ever before. We have more electric, all-electric models available here. And Flathead Electric Co-op has provided a charging station for, you know, for people who want to come in and charge their car up. They're looking for partners locally now to build these charging stations. And, okay, so the changeover from that, when you look at it from a car dealer's perspective, why should they move in that direction? Well, their service departments are going to take a hit because we're not going to have to change oil. We're not going to have to do the 5,000, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000-mile tune-ups like we used to have to do. So that's going to change their business model tremendously.
Well, you know, that is true. And it's if you factor in the maintenance cost and the oil changes and all that, no question, EV is the wave of the future. As you said, it's happening around the globe. These automakers are going in that direction.
But we're going to have to come up with more electricity to charge these cars.
Absolutely. And, you know, in terms of the climate, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, where we have primarily hydro, it's a good deal. I mean, it's good for the planet. But if your power source is 100% coal-fired power and you're plugging in, it's not necessarily better for the planet than just regular old car.
Well, we're doing a lot of more stuff locally here as well, and I want to talk with you about some of the projects up in Whitefish right after this.
Our guest this morning, Steve Thompson with Climate Smart Glacier Country. And you guys are in the middle of a project with the city of Whitefish. Can you tell us what's happening there?
You bet. We're about 3 months out from finalizing a draft of the first climate action plan that's been done here in the valley. And it's the city of Whitefish doing it, along with the school district. Involved in a variety of things. One of the big focus recommendations is coming out right now that we're working on is really a high priority to try to become a fire adapted community. We're seeing an increase in hotter, drier summers. That's what we've seen, and that's what the climate projections are that came out in the Montana Climate Assessment. There's a lot we still need to do to sort of try to reduce that wildfire risk. So that's an example of what we call adaptation, preparing for changes that are already sort of happening. But on the other side of the ledger, we're really trying to promote renewable energy as well as energy conservation within the community. So we're testing the feasibility right now of developing a large solar array to go with the new wastewater treatment plant that's going to be constructed in a couple years. And this solar farm on some really suitable land right on the edge of Whitefish will actually be bigger than the community solar project that Flat Electric Co-op has. That I own one of those solar panels, so I watch it pretty closely.
Well, this very radio station is powered by one of those.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah,
time.
We are the only solar-powered radio station in Northwest Montana.
Excellent. Nice.
And that's why, I was going to say on cloudy days, you have reception problems, but that's not it at all.
No. No, it's a supplemental thing, but it every little bit helps.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know, Whitefish has done a variety of things. You know, we have a little hydro power plant. It had a great loan from Flat Electric Co-op to put that in place and gradually pay itself off. It was supposed to take 5 years, paid it off in 4 years. So little things like that, this is a big issue, and it plays itself over time, and there's not going to be any home runs hit here. We're going to hit a lot of singles and doubles and, you know, get some walks and hopefully not strike out too much and just work on it bit by bit. And we're building on a base of, a lot of great things. We got a lot of great things going for us here in the Flathead, but we do have some challenges, and we can be part of the solution, and then we just need to be prepared for certain things like wildfire season and weird weather events. You know, sometimes like spring flooding is something that we need to keep an eye on, that sort of thing.
Boy, Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Steve
John.
Thompson from Climate Smart Glacier Country. We appreciate your insights today. Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations.